Have your Bibles. I'd like to ask you to please turn to the book of Matthew. I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. This chapter is full of a lot of different healings that Jesus did. Chapter begins by Jesus healing a man that was sick of the palsy. He told him, "Arise, take up thy bed and go into thine house." He was able to do that. God healed that man that was sick of the palsy. He raised the dead daughter of a ruler in this chapter. He healed a woman who had had an issue of blood for 12 years and had spent all that she had and gone to every doctor that was available, and they were not able to help her in any way. So as you read through this chapter, you see the power of God manifested, the power of Jesus Christ repeatedly manifested as he's healing the sick and raising the dead. I want to begin now with verse 27, Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 27. The Word of God says, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. And then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country." I want us this evening to think about primarily the expression that Jesus asked these two men in verse 28 after they had come to him for him to heal them and to open their eyes and to bless them to be able to see. Jesus asked them a question. He said, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" Do you really believe that I am able to do this? Their response was, "Yea, Lord," or "Yes, Lord, we do believe that you are able." I think it's wonderful that in every age and dispensation, Old Testament and New Testament, and even today, I am thankful that there have always been a few people that did believe and do believe in the sovereignty of God and the omnipotent power of God. There are times, however, that some of us believe with all of our heart, and then there are times that we have to say honestly and truthfully, "Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief." So I don't think there's any of us that always believe God and always trust God, though we should. I think that all of us sometimes that our faith gets weak and we begin to doubt God. But I would exhort us and exhort myself and encourage all of us tonight that we might believe that God is able. God is able. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You remember how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as the king was threatening their lives, they used these words, "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from thine hand, O king." Our God, they said, our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and our God will deliver us from thine hand, O king. So they believed with all of their heart. Their lives were in jeopardy, and yet they had no fear as they trusted in God and they believed that God was able to deliver them from that burning fiery furnace, and they knew that God was going to deliver them from the hand of the king, either through delivering them from the burning fiery furnace or through death, they were going to be delivered from the hand of that king. So they believed in the sovereignty of God. They believed in the power of God. Abraham, when he carried his son, his only son Isaac, up on that mountain, Abraham believed that God was able. The New Testament tells us that as he began to take Isaac up on that mountain, the New Testament tells us that he believed that God was going to raise him from the dead. He believed he was really going to slay him. Now that's a tremendous power. That's a tremendous belief in the power of God, to believe that God told him to take his only son, take him up on that mountain, and to sacrifice that son. And Abraham believed that God was going to raise him from the dead, because God had given Abraham a promise that in his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And Abraham and Sarah were past the age-bearing years, and yet God gave them Isaac. But Abraham believed God. Abraham trusted in God. Abraham believed that God is able. And those are the three words that I hope that God will impress on our hearts and every day of our lives. I hope that we can feel that God is able. In the nursing home today, a lady stopped me and she said, "You don't know who I am, do you?" And I said, "No, I don't believe I do." And she said, "I'm Brother Doyle Hollingsworth's widow." And she said, "You have no idea how many times that my husband prayed for you over and over and over for the years before he died. And he says, now you have outlived him." Well, he believed that God was able to do that. I know that God is able. As I look over this congregation, I have seen God perform miracles in most of your lives. I have seen the power of God working in your lives, working in your families. I believe it's a miracle the way God brought me to this church. I believe it's a miracle the way that God brought you to this church. It's a miracle, and only God is able to do what he has done in making this church what it is today. Only God. God, however, is able. He continues to be able, and he will always be able to do everything that he says. The question we need to ask ourselves is, and that's the question Jesus said to these two men. He says, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" So my question to you from Jesus is, do you believe that God is able? Do you believe that God is able in the midst of all the turmoil that we're in our nation? Do you believe that God is actually able to revive the United States of America? Do you believe God could do that? Amen. Do you believe that God is able, if God destroys our nation, do you believe that God is able to prepare a table before you, even in all the destruction and the chaos, even if the economy is completely busted and there are droughts in the land and there is no food in your pantry? Do you believe that God is still able to take care of your family in all of that destruction and chaos? And I certainly believe that God is about to destroy America, but I believe that God is able and God will take care of his faithful, obedient children. Now go with me back, please, just a moment to Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, as John the Baptist began preaching, of course, John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And as John the Baptist began preaching, it is clear that John the Baptist understood that God was going to break the Jews off and to graft in the Gentiles. And here's a statement that he made as John the Baptist is preaching, and he begins to baptize many people, but he refused to baptize some people. Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, the Word of God says, "But when he saw," that's when John the Baptist saw, "many of the Pharisees and Sadducees," now were those religious people that were coming to him, the Sadducees and Pharisees. They had a form of religion. They were religious people. "And when the Sadducees and Pharisees came to John's baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. And think not to say unto yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you," listen carefully now, this is John the Baptist, who was the first preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the one who was sent to preach to those Jews. He says, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Those Sadducees and Pharisees did not believe that God was going to raise up another people. They thought that because they were natural descendants of Abraham, that they were going to have to be the ones to continue to have all the blessings of God. They did not believe that God would destroy his people, his chosen people, that nation of Israel. They did not believe that God would destroy them and raise up another people. And John the Baptist warned them, and he says, God is able. And God did. God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Did you know there are Gentiles today who are children of Abraham? They're not natural descendants of Abraham. Every one of you that believes that Jesus is the Christ, and we have no natural Jews in this congregation tonight that I know of. We have a Jew that is a member of the church, but we have no natural Jews in this congregation. And I want you to know, brethren, I want you to know that we, if we believe in God and if we trust in God, if we believe like Abraham, if we believe that God is able, if our faith is in God, then we are children of Abraham. Abraham is the father of the faithful, and we need to trust in God like Abraham did. These Sadducees and Pharisees, they trusted in the flesh. They trusted that they were natural descendants of Abraham. That doesn't mean a thing in the world, being a natural descendant of Abraham. I'll tell you, being a mullist to me is important, but being a mullist doesn't mean anything when it comes to being a child of God. Your natural name and your natural heritage, it doesn't matter who your parents or your grandparents were. I'll tell you, brethren, the thing that matters is whether God, in his infinite mercy and grace, has reached down and touched your life and lifted you up and blessed you to be born of the Spirit of God. God is the one that is able, and God alone is able. And God is able. I'll tell you, brethren, I've seen God raise up children and families that I could see no way in the world that anything good could come out of that family. God is able. God's done it. God is still doing it. God is still able. These Jews did not believe that God was able to raise up another people. And I declare to you tonight that I do not believe the Gentiles in America. I don't believe the United States of America. I don't believe that the children of God in America. I think we're in the same boat that these Sadducees and Pharisees were in. I believe we're in the same boat as they were, and we do not believe that God would actually destroy the United States of America, but he will. He is able. He's able to, and he will do it because we have turned our backs on God. Just like these Jews, just like these Sadducees and Pharisees had turned their backs on God, we have turned our backs on God. And the same message, the three words that God spoke to the people of Israel through John the Baptist, when he told John the Baptist to preach, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. The apostle to the Gentiles spoke the exact same words in the same kind of way to us Gentiles. Turn with me to Romans chapter 11. I want you to hear that God says to us the same thing that God said to the Jews. Who was the apostle to the Gentiles? Now, I'm not talking about Peter. He was the first one to preach to the Gentiles. But who was the apostle to the Gentiles? That was the apostle Paul. And as you read Romans chapter 11, you read about how God broke the Jews off. God did what he said he was going to do in Matthew chapter 3. God did that. Look at Romans chapter 11. Brethren, I want us to believe that God is able to break us off. I want us to believe that God is able to break us off. I want you to know that God doesn't depend on us to keep his truth going. God doesn't depend on you, and God doesn't depend on me to keep his church going or to keep his truth going. God can raise up a people, and he will raise up a people. In fact, I declare to you tonight that God is on the verge of raising the Jews back up. He is on the verge of breaking off the Gentiles and grafting the Jews back in. And you might not believe that God could do such a thing as that, as breaking the Gentiles off. And you might not believe that he could graft the Jews back in. But the Word of God declares that's exactly what he's going to do. Look at Romans chapter 11, beginning in verse 19. Romans 11, God is able. I want you to remember that. God is able to do what he says. Romans 11, beginning in verse 19, the Word of God says, thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off. Now, the book of Romans, is it primarily to the Jews or Gentiles? It's to the Gentiles. The book of Hebrews is primarily to whom? Now, I know that all the Word of God is to all of God's people. I understand that. But the book of Romans was specifically, in its day and in its context, it was written to the Gentiles. Paul wrote it to the Gentiles, and he warned the Gentiles the same way John the Baptist warned the Jews. The Apostle Paul warned the Gentiles. Romans 11, verse 19, he says to us, Gentiles, he says, thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Now, who are the branches that were broken off that we might be grafted in? The Jews were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. Because of what?
Unbelief.
Are we guilty of unbelief today? Absolutely. Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. And then he says in verse 22, he says, behold, that means look. Look at therefore, the goodness and severity of God on thee. I'm sorry, on them which fell. What did God bring on those Jews that fell? On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if. Is this a conditional blessing that God has said he would pour out on our lives? But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. You hear that warning? I want to tell you again tonight that God never warns his people about something that is not a possibility. In fact, he doesn't warn us about anything that's not a probability in our lives. And so he says that we need to behold the goodness and the severity of God. And then he says in verse 23, and they also, pronoun they in verse 23 is referring to whom? The Jews. And they, the Jews also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. What was the message John the Baptist gave to the Jews? God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. What's the message of the Apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles? What does he tell us? God is able to graft them in again. The rest of this chapter comes on down and says that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And the fullness of the Gentiles has come in because we have become full of ungodliness and unrighteousness and unbelief. And so God is going to break us off and graft the Jews in. Do you believe God is able to do that? Back up just a few pages to Romans chapter 4. I mentioned Abraham earlier. Abraham not only believed that God could raise up his son Abraham, but Abraham believed and Sarah believed, especially Abraham believed that God could give him a son, though he was past childbearing age, that Sarah was past those years, and his loins were dead also. In Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 19, the Word of God says, and being not weak in faith, talking about Abraham, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, he wasn't dead physically, but as far as him being able to produce children through Sarah, he was dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Do you believe that God is able to keep all of his promises? Do you believe that every promise in the Word of God, that God is able to keep those promises? I hope that we do, because God is able. Abraham did not stagger at the promise of God. Brother Joshua, do you believe that God is able to take care of you and provide for you? All over this congregation, I hope that God will help us. I believe that you are a believer. I believe that most of you in this congregation, I believe that you believe God tonight. But I also know that sometimes we get away from God and we stop believing God. And so my warning and the burden of my heart tonight is that as Jesus asked those two blind men, when he says, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" Do you believe that I'm able to heal your eyes? Do you believe I'm able to bless you to see? Do you believe, Abraham, do you believe that I'm able to bless you to have children though you're 100 years old? Do you believe I'm able to do that? Abraham would have responded, "Yes, Lord," just like those two blind men. Abraham would have responded, "Yes, Lord, I believe." You remember how the Apostle Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy very quickly in your Bibles. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, listen to what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, he talks about his belief in God and his confidence in God and how God was going to take care of him. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And I want to ask you, do you believe this? This is what Jesus asked those two men. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Brother Devin, you believe God's able to provide for you and take care of you? I hope that we do believe. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, here's what he says to the young preacher Timothy. He says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." Now this is what Paul says to the young preacher Timothy. "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able." What are those three words there? God is able. I am persuaded. I know that God is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Do you believe God is able to keep your children? Do you believe that God is able? Do I believe that God is able to take care of my wife? Do I believe that God is able to take care of my children and my grandchildren? Listen, brethren, there are people that are afraid to have children today because they're afraid of what they're going to face. I'm not afraid to have children or grandchildren because my God is able to take care of them. Things are no different today than they were in the days of Noah when God sent a flood, but he had a man prepare an ark for the saving of his house. And God is no different today than he was in the days of Abraham when he blessed them to have a child. God is no less powerful today than he was when he has done anything else that he's ever done. God is still on his throne. God is still able. God is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. And it's not up to me to keep it. I want you to remember that. You can't even keep yourself. I can't even take care of myself. People ask me, "What can you do to prepare for the future?" Well, I'm telling you what you can do to, and this is the only thing I can tell you that you can do to prepare for the future, and that's live just as close to God as you can every day of your life. That's the best preparation you can make for the future. And I'm not talking about going to heaven when you die. I'm talking about living through difficult times right here. My God is able. Do you hear the statement Paul made here? My God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Have you committed yourself unto the Lord? Have you committed your family unto the Lord? Have you committed everything you have unto the Lord and say, "Lord, it's yours. And I trust you, because I believe you're able to do all that I ask or think. You're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think." God has done more for me than I ever thought possible in my life. I never imagined in my wildest dreams, when I started in the ministry, I never imagined what God would do for me in my life. Never imagined it at all. Isn't God wonderful? Amen. To provide, to take care of us? In spite of our shortcomings, in spite of the fact that we sometimes don't believe, God still is taking care of His people. All the things that God calls on you to do, you need the grace of God to do those things. And God is able to make the grace that you need abound. Back up just a few pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look in your Bibles at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And listen, please, to verses 6, 7, and 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6, 7, and 8. I believe that God has called on every one of you to do some works in God's kingdom. I believe there are labors that you're to be doing. I don't care how old you are. There is no age of retirement in the kingdom of God. There's no age you get to. You're not too young. You're not too old to do things, to do works in God's kingdom. God's called on you to do things. And God's grace is sufficient for you to do everything He's called on you to do. And it'll take the grace of God, because the things that God calls on you to do are going to be more than what you're able to do by yourself. God doesn't ever call on you to do something you can do by yourself. He calls on you to do things you can't do by yourself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 6, the Word of God says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Now listen carefully. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Do you know why you're able to do every good work God's called on you to do? Because God is able to make grace abound. He gives me preaching grace. He gives you grace. He gives all of us the grace that we need to do everything He's called on us to do. Going to church camp is not a real fun thing in some ways. Now, it's the highlight of my life every year. It's the most wonderful week of my year. But as I think about going, I think, oh, I can't go. I can't make it. I don't feel like going. And this and that and the other. And all that stuff the devil tells every one of his children. God's grace is sufficient. And it doesn't matter when preachers call or people call and say, "I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to go. I can't do what I was told you I was going to do." It doesn't matter. God's grace is sufficient. And everything that needs to be done, God will provide for everything that needs to be done at church camp. Aren't you glad we have a God that's able to take care of us and bless us? And I believe we'll have the best week we've ever had in our lives. Because God is able, and because we're looking to God and trying to trust in the Lord for Him to provide, we can't have a revival. We can't have a good week at church camp. We can't do anything by ourselves. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because He is able, therefore I am able. Does that make sense? I am only able because of the grace, and you are only able because of the grace that God has given to you. Go with me in closing to one other scripture in Jude. Look at Jude verses 24 and 25. Here's something else I want all of you to know, and I want you to believe that God is able to do. It's one of the most wonderful things that we have, a wonderful promise in the Word of God. Jude 24 and 25, the last two verses before the book of Revelation. "Now unto him that is" what? "Unto him that is able to keep you from falling." Isn't that wonderful? I fear sometimes that I'm going to fall and fail and fall away. I fear sometimes that I'm going to become a reprobate. I have dreams sometimes that I've done something that destroyed my ministry and my life. And I cry and I weep and I beg the Lord, "Please, Lord, don't let this be real." And when I wake up crying, I'm so happy it wasn't real. Do you know who is able? Did you know I can't keep myself? That's what we were just talking about from 2 Timothy 1. He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And this says that God is able to keep you from falling. God, keep me from falling, because I know without God, I will fall and I will destroy my life. And if that happens, a lot of little lambs are going to be hurt. I want every one of you to go to bed tonight praying and believing, God, I know that you're able to keep me, to keep you. I want you to pray tonight, Lord, keep you from falling. Keep me from falling, because I can't keep myself from falling. I think that's part of what Jesus meant in the prayer when he says that we need to pray, lead us not into temptation. Why? Because, Lord, I'm weak, but you are strong. May God help us to praise him, because he is able to keep us from falling, and he is able to provide everything we need in our lives, is my prayer for Christ's sake.